chapter 5 is where we should be. So hopefully your Bible's open there. And we've been talking about being set free from under the law. We've been talking about walking in the Spirit, grace, as opposed to walking in the flesh. When you're walking in the according to the law, you're really trying to walk according to the flesh. And so we looked at these scriptures last time that we should walk in the power of the Spirit. We're going to see it again. Verse 18 says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so he says to us, be led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. And he's going to now talk to us, beginning in verse 19, Galatians chapter 5, about the flesh. Remember, the flesh wars against the Spirit. Spirit wars against the flesh. They fight one another. And they're never going to quit fighting until they are separated one from the other. In other words, as long as this flesh, I have it, as long as you have this flesh that you're in, there's going to be a battle that rages. Now, some people choose to say it's not true, but the fact is, it is true, and your flesh does remain as long as you're part of it. You're not going to take it with you when you leave this planet, but right now, this is the tent you dwell in. This is the flesh that we've been born in, and of course, the flesh is our fallen nature. And so he says, let me tell you what the works of the flesh are. This is how they manifest themselves. This is the works of the flesh, or these are the works of the flesh, and this is what you see. And so he gives us a list, but the list is not exhaustive. There's a big one for you. The list isn't complete. There are many more than this, but he's just going to give us a list of some. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. That's easy to understand. Having sex with someone else's partner. Adultery is what the word is. Fornication is the next thing listed. Now remember, this is not the devil making me do this, the devil making you do this. This is the flesh. These are the works of the flesh. If the flesh runs your life, these are the kind of things that your life will be around and about, right? Fornication is sexual sin of any kind, which does include pornography. Fornication, sexual sin of any kind, but all sorts, which includes pornography. The next word is uncleanness, isn't it? Uncleanness is simply an immoral lifestyle or an immoral thought life. That's what uncleanness is. Lasciviousness, there's a word for you. That word means unbridled excesses in anything. Uncontrolled or unbridled excesses, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, that means worshiping anything or anyone that is not God. So, simply put, anything that takes the place of God in my life or yours, anything that takes the place of God, that becomes an idol to us. Which, of course, could include that four-letter word, self. We worship self, and of course, that is idolatry, because that's taking the place of God in our lives. And so, self is one of the main things that we are interested in, because that's how we're built. And so, Jesus will tell us, or you've seen him tell us in the Gospels, that if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Self is a big thing. That can be idolatry. Witchcraft. Now, you might, that's interesting to me. Witchcraft, we think of that as some kind of satanic, oh, bad, occult, ugly. Don't you find that interesting that God lists it in the list of the works of the flesh? These are things that our flesh is going to do if you give it the free rein. And listen, so far we've talked about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Now the next is witchcraft. The word is in the Greek is pharmakia. We get from the root word, I believe, is pharmakios. We get our word pharmacy from it. And so it would be the use of drugs or potions or poisons. Now, if you take a look at witchcraft, the craft is supposedly what is called Wicca. They use different drugs and stuffs for potions and spells and all that garbage, which are absolutely nothing in the eyes of the Lord. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. So far, we've seen adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Now, witchcraft. Those are all things that your flesh is going to do if you give it the opportunity, if you walk in the flesh. Also, hatred. That's pretty easy to understand. No, it doesn't need an explanation. Hatred. Then variance. Now, variance means to be full of strife, to be argumentative, to be touchy. If you like that word better, variance. That's not a mood that we're in. That's not just because you're stressed or because you and I are tired or frustrated with an individual. That's basically a work of the flesh. That's your flesh. No matter what excuse we use to be argumentative. And of course, Proverbs talks a little bit about that. You read through Proverbs, you can see some fun things about that. Emulations is a jealousy. Basically, it's a jealousy. Jealous, and you can throw in envious. Also, envy will be talked about, but jealousy or an enviousness. We want to stay away from that. That's what emulations are. Wrath. Wrath is more than just anger. Wrath, the word, I guess you and I could say literally, boiling over is what the word means. Uncontrollable anger. You say, well, it's just because my parents are from Italy, or my parents are from Germany, or my parents are from Ireland, or my parents are from Texas, or whatever you say, I don't know. You know, a lot of people, and you say, that's the reason I have this temper. And no, the reason that you have that uncontrollable temper, the world says you need anger control management. No, you know what you need to be born again. And once you're born again, if you still got that same temper, which you probably will have, then you need to understand that it is your flesh fighting against your spirit. It's not anger management you need. It's the Holy Spirit that you need. The court system doesn't understand that. So those of you who get in trouble, go through anger management classes. What does it do? Makes you mad. Plus, you have to spend money. Cost. Now, after wrath comes strife. Strife means to put one's self forward. To put yourself forward, a great way to understand strife is to watch a horse race or a car race. Horse races are better because cars, they have to be more careful. But in horse races, you are literally, the term is jockeying for a position. You are trying to get a better position, get that horse into a position where you can stay up against the rail so you've got a shorter distance in turns, or to pull yourself out in the open when you're ready to break away. You're jockeying for position. That is called strife. That's what we do. That's a work of the flesh. We used to, Flip Wilson, the old comedian, used to say this, the devil made me do it. That's what we like to blame everything on. How's your week gone? Oh man, I've been under attack all week. Heard that one from Christians? Yeah, you have. Sure you have. Because they're not about to say, man, my flesh is just taking over this week. Nuh-uh. I've been under attack, man. You haven't been under attack. You've been walking in the flesh. That, and we don't want to say that about ourselves. How's it going? Been walking in the flesh all week, man. Wish God would just strike me dead. No, we don't say that. No, it's been a bad week. Satan's after me. All right. You're important. For Satan himself to come right after you. That's how we feel sometimes. That's also a self problem. That goes back to idolatry. What's the other one we see? Strife, seditions. Seditions, that's just breaking up things, wanting to, you know, not only do you have strife, but you got the people who hate to see others get along. You know, don't you hate it when Christians actually, I thought they weren't speaking to one another. Oh, they're speaking now. Well, that just makes me sick. I'll fix that. You know, she still says this about you and she's like, oh, here we go, seditions. You thought that was a demonic activity, didn't you? Whoa, the church is under attack. I hear that quite a bit. Man, your church must be under attack. Marriages are falling apart. Right. If there are 20 of you and marriages are falling apart, one marriage is falling apart, what percentage is that? Tough one. Okay, let me do this. Got that calculator out. If there are 20 of you and two marriages are falling apart, what percentage is that? Thank you. You guys make this really hard for me. So 10% of your whole church is having marriage troubles. And how many couples are in trouble too? Well, what if there are 200 of you? Then what percentage would be 10%? How many would that be? 20. Devil must really be after you. And what if there are 2,000 of you? 10% of that would be 200. Do you understand the point, everybody? No, the devil isn't necessarily attacking you because so many people are sick, so many people are breaking up, so many people are robbing banks. What's going on is a few different things. But one of the things we can see if we're not careful is we're walking in the flesh. No, it's not that the devil singled out your ministry. And that's a lie that I hear quite often being promoted, because it makes people feel better if they think their church is under attack, because then they don't have to walk in the Spirit. They can just say, oh, it's just, you know, it's not us. Well, what about heresies? Heresies, that's easy. False doctrines. I like that. That's impressive to me. You hear that? A work of the flesh is false doctrines. Man, these are works. We haven't even gotten to the Spirit stuff. That's even more fun. Wait, envyings. Envyings, that's, what was that old saying? Once I complained that I had no shoes, then I met a man who had no feet. Envyings. We just envy what's going on around us. We don't want to do that. That's of the flesh. Did I skip one? Yes, murders. I skipped two. Murders. Murder is the taking of another, a life of another individual with malice aforethought. In other words, it's not murder, in some cases. Murder is with malice aforethought. In the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder. People say God contradicts himself. He gives you a commandment not to murder, then he sends you in to take over a city, and he says, kill everybody in it. No, it's not a contradiction. Murder is with malice aforethought. Murder comes from the flesh. Drunkenness.
Well, brother, that's a disease.
No. It's the flesh. And what did the old preacher say? That demon alcohol. Yeah, well, maybe. But the truth is, that's a work of my flesh and yours. None of us are above it. Don't think you are. That's a work of the flesh. This is amazing to me. And then revelings. We have that go on in our neighborhood pretty regularly. Revelings is a riotous procession. Usually at night when you're trying to lay down. Noisy, usually by people that are drunk or high on something. And it is for the specific purpose of bothering everybody else. That's what revelings are. You'll hear in our neighborhood, we have some neighbors that like to do that. They wait till 2 or 3 in the morning, and then they start to yell things at one another outside. That's what you call revelings. That's not anything but the flesh. But you notice something? What does the rest of the verse say? And such like. And other things that are like it. These kinds of things. This is not an exhaustive list. There are many, many more works of the flesh. So if we didn't hit you with one of them, don't worry. It's still the flesh, many of the things that we're up to. That's what God says. He says, by the way, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, now there's that, you gotta stop at least and think about that. Wait a minute. I mean, we'd have just listed adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And I'm gonna tell you right now, probably that has hit some of us, probably every one of us if we're gonna be honest. Because sometimes in the flesh we do these kinds of things. That mean you can't be saved? Because what did he just say? Those that practice these things, or those that do these such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does he mean? Well, the language means those that make these things their practice. Can a born again believer envy? Do this. Can a born again man or woman commit idolatry? Oh, absolutely. The flesh is there and it happens. I mean, there'll be days when you think, I just want to serve you, Lord. Then you go right out and you get in your car and something happens. You turn the key and you think, oh, I'm running late. What is wrong with these idiots who are driving today? They are driving. Everybody is driving so that I can't get to work on time. It's like they all got their cell phones. They call each other and they say, get in his way. Just get in his way. And self takes over. I didn't mean for self to take over, but self is going, get out of the way, man. What are you driving to park it? You know, self takes over. And it's a work of the flesh. And you start saying things about the drivers, like, is that a man or a woman? Well, who's doing that? What's wrong with, well, your blinker's going, man, are you going to turn? And here, what's wrong with us? We're still saved, aren't we? Yeah, see, salvation's by grace through faith. But the truth is, the flesh. I know it's never happened to you. But it does happen to others. And it's the flesh. And so Paul says, don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is going to want to yell at that driver, but the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll be praying for him. Lord, heal him. Something wrong with that driver, obviously. Heal them, Lord. Take care of them. So it's not, you won't inherit the kingdom if you do this, but to practice these, they shouldn't become your lifestyle. You hear that about everybody, about idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, like seven. You read the list again. That shouldn't be our lifestyle. That shouldn't be how we live and what we're all about. He says, on the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice, the flesh works. The Spirit produces a fruit. Fruit is different than works. Works are something that you do. Fruit is not something that you do. Fruit happens. Fruit is something that is produced in you. First of all, you must be born again. Fruit is produced by the Spirit of God Himself. Now, I've told you this silly little pretend scenario about you and I walking around in Florida. What we're doing there, who knows? Just pretend. Don't visualize, just pretend. And we're walking through a grove of orange trees. And they happen in Florida, you know, and you're walking through and it looks just like acres and acres and acres of trees. And you come upon a tree that's a little bit different. And you notice that tree is different, and you notice that the tree is crying. Now, when you see a tree crying, what do? You see trees crying? Not a weeping willow, no. Well, we're just pretending. You talk to the tree and say, what's wrong with you, tree? Because the tree's crying, and the tree says, well, can't you tell? I'm a grapefruit tree. No, I couldn't tell. Well, yeah, all these trees around me are orange trees, and I'm a grapefruit tree. You know, when people go to restaurants, hardly anybody wants grapefruit juice. It's sour. They want orange juice. They order orange juice. They want orange slices with their meals to make it pretty. They never want grapefruit. People, if they eat grapefruit, all they try to put sugar or some other thing to cover the taste, and I'm sick of it. And so next season, I'm growing oranges instead of grapefruits. What would you say to the grapefruit tree? You poor thing. No matter how hard you try, you can work all you want, but you will never grow oranges. Why? It's not in you. You're a grapefruit. Fruit is produced. You're not going to figure out how to change something. And that's what Christians are trying to do. They are trying to change themselves. All right, I know that my life is no good, and so I have to change it. Yeah, you're going to grow oranges next year? It's not going to happen. Fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit. And this is not an error in the original language. This is a singular word. The fruit of the Spirit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's exactly the correct language, and so the Bible has not misinterpreted it. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Love consists of what you're seeing here. It's what we're told. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You're not going to love by just deciding that you're going to do it. If you'd like to see a little bit more about love, just read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you can see. Love is not what you feel. Love is what you do and what you don't do, as you'll learn as you read through 1 Corinthians. We're all American, most of us, and so we have been taught up, trained up to believe it's all feeling, and that's why marriages aren't working and all kinds of things aren't working, because we have no clue what it really is. We just know what we've seen in the movies. We just know what we've read in the books. We just know what we want, and what we want has to usually do with, let's go back to idolatry, self. You can't get away from that flesh. Notice that. So what he says is the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, which consists of joy, peace, there. Now, joy is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing. Something that someone can't get to. You must be born again to even have the Spirit of God. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, you must be born from above. Admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, who died on the cross for the sins of the world, who was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, that Jesus paid the price for sins. You must be born again, asking Jesus Christ into your heart. Once you do, the Spirit of God takes up residence in you, and now the fruit of the Spirit will be produced. But you must walk in the Spirit for the fruit to be produced. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You must remain in the vine to have the life, true? And then the fruit will be produced. You've got to be born again, and the Spirit must be there, and we've got to be remaining in that fellowship or in that contact, that the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, that the Spirit would produce fruit. And the love consists of joy. Jesus says in John 15:11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that your joy might remain in you, or I'm sorry, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be complete or full. It's a deep and abiding inner rejoicing. It's something in your heart that even though, no matter what's going on around you, there is that joy, and they're saying, God is good. He's going to take care of it. He's coming soon. We're going to be with him forever and ever. There's that joy. We used to sing that song. It was a long time ago. I got the joy, 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 joy down in the depths of my heart. I got the wonderful love of my precious Redeemer down in the depths of my heart. Didn't you sing that? Can you even say it? There's a joy, but it's not produced by you saying, oh, I'm happy, I'm happy, oh, God is good. That's baloney. We all know God is good, but that's just a Christian cop-out anymore. How's it going? Oh, God is good. Oh, so what? God's always been good. What's your problem? How's it going with you? Is there a joy there? That's a fruit of the Spirit, and it comes not from faking it or trying to force it. I'm not growing oranges next time. No, it's something that has to be produced by God himself. That's why some of us don't have the joy. Then there's peace. That's an inner quietness and an inner rest in the midst of whatever's going on around me and you. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is a joy, and that's what people are looking for. When they tell you all I want to be is happy, all they're saying is, I need something on the inside. There's a joy that I need. They can't get to it. Happiness is an emotion that it comes and goes. But the joy remains there in the midst of all trials, all tribulation, all good news, bad news, everything. There's that joy and a peace. And it's a peace that's produced by the Holy Spirit, not by me going, oh, I'm just going to trust God. Oh, I'm just going to, it's all right. It's okay. That, you know, the New Age has what they call affirmations. You want to be beautiful, so you have to tell yourself you're beautiful. Look in the mirror and say, boy, are you beautiful. Man, you look nice. Ooh, nice hair today. And the Christians laugh at that, and then you see Christians come up to you and say, how's it going? And they go, man, oh, God's good. Everything's great. My life's good. And you think, what's wrong with you? I mean, come on. Let's get real. What's going on in there? You'll see others who say, you know, things are falling apart around me, but in my heart, I can honestly say, like the widow, it is well with my soul. It's well. God's okay. It's going all right. It's not going the way I wanted it to. I don't know what way it's going to go next, but I can tell you this. It's all right. God's got it. He's in control. There's that joy. There's that peace. But there's also long suffering, the opposite of short suffering, right? To be patient and to remain calm under pressure are under provocation, or when being treated or mistreated unfairly or whatever. There's a long suffering. That you don't do by going, all right, I'm going to be patient. The next time she says that, I am not even going to say a word. Yeah, grit your teeth and try. Yeah, that's the flesh. And you're going to fight. You're going to say something. It may come out 3 days later, but there's no patience involved in what's going on. You're trying to, with your flesh, hold it down, hold it at bay. I'm not going to tell you what I'm thinking. And so we've got long suffering. Then there's gentleness. Gentleness, the way I guess to describe it is, because it's hard to get a description on it, would be kindness in action. Things that you're doing. It's a kindness that's being done. That's what gentleness would be. Goodness. Another action. Reaching out to others even when it's not deserved. God is good, isn't he? And he gives to you and to me and cares for us. I mean, and there are times when you're being absolutely rowdy and disobedient and God will bless you and you'll go, man, I can't even believe he's doing this now. I mean, you wouldn't think he would do that. God is good. What does the goodness mean? It's an action, reaching out to others even when it's not deserved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Christ died while we were yet sinners, or still sinners, living in sin, Christ died for us. Is that goodness or what? Fruit of the Spirit, love, consisting of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And then there's another one that love consists of, which would be faith. In our language, not saving faith, but in our language, we would use the word faithfulness. That is a fruit of the Spirit. Being trustworthy and being reliable at all times. Being trustworthy and being reliable at all times. That's what faithfulness is. And again, God is good. He is kind. He is faithful, isn't he? And God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will in you and I, as we walk in the power of the Spirit, he will produce this in us. If we'll walk in the power of the Spirit. Faithfulness. Also, meekness. Meekness is not weakness, as some people say. Meekness, the way that you would look up, well, if you look for definitions, you're going to see it called strength under control. That's what meekness is. Jesus was God Almighty. He had all the power that there is. All power. And when they arrested him, he said, you can put down those sticks and those swords. I'm coming with you. What is that? Strength under control. Another word, the word is used for horses. As you take a wild stallion and you ride that horse and you break the horse, not the spirit, but break it, so that they're rideable and controllable. That horse is then, once they're broken, they're called what? They're called meek. Are they any weaker? Not at all. But that strength is now under control and they can run fast. And they can go into battle, but they are meek now. They're controllable. Jesus was meek. Meekness is strength under control. You and I, that God will produce in us a meekness. That strength that's under control. Also, temperance. In today's language, the word would be self-control. Notice that we're opposing, by just simply saying love, which consists of joy, peace, all those things. We're opposing the works of the flesh. Notice they are opposite one another. Notice that. Self-control. Now, self-control is being taught in classes like I mentioned earlier, anger management. They'll go to some people who have drinking, quote, problems will go to different classes to learn to control these things. What's happening is you're putting a fake band-aid on some of these things. You're controlling them, but it's not real control. In other words, it's going to break loose. It's going to break like a dam someday, and water is going to just. And you see people with drinking problems who've been through classes. They'll go for a good 2 or 3 or 4 months and then just explode, or sometimes they'll go years. and thinking it's all under control because it's the flesh. And then there they are. They're gone. They're off on a binge. And you say, what happened? I thought I had it under control, but the person disappeared for the last 3 days. What happened? Listen, self-control cannot be done without the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Can't be done. And that's why things are falling apart around us. That's why our lives even are becoming a mess, because we're thinking that we're controlling it by just being Christians. Well, I'm a Christian, and so we'll get this little part of our lives under control. And it's not happening. It's not working. You can fake it for this short time, that short time, maybe a year or two, but it comes back with a vengeance, doesn't it? The flesh. And what does he say? Temperance. Remaining under control. Self-control under all circumstances. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, which consists of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now notice what he says in verse 23. Against such there is no law. You need not write any law to the one who is spirit-filled and spirit-led. You need not write to them any law. You don't have to tell them, don't steal from your neighbor. Why wouldn't you? Don't you have to tell them that? Because the Spirit has produced in their lives, as they're walking the power of the Spirit, self-control, gentleness, kindness, the long-suffering, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the faithfulness, the meekness. You notice that the Spirit produces those things. They don't come by just putting your mind to it. This is a fruit as you're abiding in the vine, as the Spirit of God, as you're walking in that power, the fruit is produced. And he says, and they that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. In other words, I am crucified with Christ. When did you and I die? When Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, you and I died with him. He died in our place, but we were crucified with him. Now we're alive in him to simply walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to do his will, to do the things that are pleasing to God. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also then walk in the Spirit. Once again, we're told, walk in the power of the Spirit. Once you are born again, stay in fellowship, stay in the Word, stay in prayer, and walk in the power of the Spirit. Walk in according to the things that you know to be the Word of God. Verse 26 says something interesting too. It says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We don't need to be on top. Vainglory. We don't need to be the most important. We don't need to be the one that always gets noticed. We're Christians. We don't need those kind of things. So he says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Provoking one another. To provoke one another means challenging each other. Don't continue to challenge each other. Except we're told later on to provoke one another unto love and good works. What does that mean? If we're going to challenge one another, how should we be challenging each other? Challenging each other to love and to do the things that are according to the Word of God. But not challenging each other and not envying one another. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We take a look, realizing that you and I are now out from under the law, separated from under the curse of the law, born again by grace through faith, so that we can walk with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. And then you and I must realize that the flesh and the Spirit war one against the other. And they continue to war. So what you want and I want to do is walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, fruit is produced. The very things that we're noticing that we need. The joy and the peace and the long suffering, the patience and all these others. The love. You know, you cannot love unless you're born again. And once you're born again, that love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you can be born again and not really love. Oh, you can have the emotions and you can like so and so. And I really just, she's so close to me. Oh, they're the neatest couple in there. Oh, yeah, yeah. But we're talking, when you're talking love, go back again and read 1 Corinthians 13. You're going to notice a difference. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit that is produced in you and me as we walk in the power of the Spirit, as we walk with the Lord. So Paul's encouraging us to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And that way we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Pray about these things. You see, because this fruit that we're talking about is not something that you're going to have to get hold of. It's not something you're going to have to, all right, I'm working right now. I'm working on the gentleness. I think next week I'm going to be working on that long suffering part. No, it's a fruit that is produced in your life as you continue to grow. Plant or hooked into the vine. Let God work a work in you. Let's bow our heads.